find in your notes, helping your counselee to confess but not obsess. Okay, if you counsel any length of time, and I hope since you're track four, you're not just here because you love studying the Bible. I hope you do, but I hope you are loving meeting with people and trying to help real people with real problems using your Bible. If you do it for any length of time, you'll begin to see certain pitfalls, I think. Places that people get stuck. And I believe this is one of them that people get stuck, where they confuse condemnation and conviction. We need to be able to make a distinction to this. And I want people to own their sin. There's a problem when you have someone that just won't own their sin. They won't own it. They don't want to confess it. There's a good thing in owning it, saying, I am a sinner. I sinned when I need God to forgive me. But guess what? There's another ditch to fall into that goes beyond confessing, and I call it just obsessing over your sin. Just obsessing. There's something not good there where I'm trying to help people. So how would you help a counselee that you start to sense is caught in the cycle of condemnation, 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 way beyond conviction? What would you do? Well, I gave it some thought. This is not exhaustive, but I hope this will get you started in your own thinking. Number one, start by examining and strengthening their spiritual core. Here's what I mean by that. I don't know if you've ever tried to work. As I've gotten older, I've had to meet with a trainer. So a couple years ago, I said, you know what? I've been doing the same thing I was doing from football practice in high school. I bet I should be doing something different. I bet I should understand. It was so worth it. I'd lived for years with lower back pain. Literally, I'd have to stand, couldn't sit at my desk. And they explain things to me. And if you ever pay and spend time with anyone like that, they will talk incessantly about your core, your core, your core, your core. And stretching, you are tight all the way down. Your Achilles heels, your legs, that was affecting my back. They said it's all pulling on your lower back and you got to strengthen your core. And it was a game changer. Here's what I believe. As we're meeting with people, so many times the issues that they're really struggling with, instead of just zeroing right on that, consider initially the core. Are they weak? And here's what I think for us spiritually is core. When I talk about core, I think it's identity in Christ. Who you are. Who you really are now. Believers are weak. If you're off on understanding and embrace, then see, it's even one thing to say, I've heard it taught. It sounds wonderful. What I'm talking about is you've embraced it for yourself and believe it for you. You realize you're trying to help people that have heard about some of these amazing spiritual core truths, but they haven't yet believed it for themselves. And it causes all kinds of other issues to be at play. You have to be strong on your core. And so I think this assurance of adoption and identity in the family of God is what comprises the core. There's all kinds of machines in the gym. There's all kinds of things that you can do. And you start, working on biceps, working on triceps. Even I had given up anything on legs. I was like, oh, I got a bad lower back. There's no way I should be doing deadlifts or squats. He's like, oh, no. You must strengthen, and he said, your quads, this is all bonus. Do other speakers bring you this kind of help? This is bonus. Wow. You're getting free stuff that I paid $280 a month for, okay? He said, if we don't work your quads, those are your biggest muscles, it affects everything else. You won't see results. And he had me, even with a bad back, starting to do deadlifts. I mean, it looked like what girls lift, little girls, baby girls, had two little tiny weights on the side. You see those guys at the gym, there's 345s on each side. And when he gets up like this with powder on his hands, the bar bends, just droops. Mine did not look like that. But oh my goodness, it started to make a difference. I started doing squats where I would step up under that bar and you've got it on your back and squat, because he said, if you don't strengthen your core and your biggest muscle groups, you will struggle and it affects other areas. Didn't know that. Same is true spiritually, you guys. And here's what I think is interesting. There's actually an emphasis in Ephesians 5, that whole armor passage, on core, but I think we miss it. You know, so it's great to know about weapons, and it's great to know about your spiritual gifts. It's great to know about all kinds of things. There's reference to the importance of core in that passage, but it often gets unmentioned or I find misinterpreted. Here's what I'm talking about. When you go to Ephesians chapter 6 and you see verse 14 and 15, it says, stand therefore, all right? Stand, fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. I don't know about you, I'm old enough that as I was being taught this in the church, it was flannel graph. Remember flannel graph? Oh, wow, we slapped the soldier on there. So cool. He's sticking there naked. Oh, we add a breast of righteousness. Oh, we add the belt. Now kids have got this 3D. We were mesmerized by flannel graph. Look at that soldier now. There's a little sword sticking on the board next to his hand. But guess what was never mentioned? Ever. The gospel shoes. And guess what? We tend to think since gospel and feet are being mentioned in the same verse, and you think about Isaiah, how beautiful are the feet that carry the good news. Whenever someone does mention it, they talk about, and we should be sharing the gospel. That's not what the passage is. There are passages that say we need to be sharing the gospel. This isn't one of them. You realize that is a reference to this whole issue of core, because a soldier must have firm footing and have a good, solid stance or everything else. It doesn't matter what weapon you have, doesn't matter how much you know about battle, if your stance isn't solid. And so it's actually a reference to you believing the gospel for yourself, that you have peace with God, that he's for you, not against you, and that you're adopted and you are. It's about our core, that you know, oh, this is true about me. I have a new position now. I have peace with God. I'm a child of God. There is no shame. There's no condemnation. There's no record of wrong that stands against me. All of my sins, past, present, future, have been nailed to the cross, and they no longer define me. And see, it doesn't sound that exciting when you think about footwear. Footwear doesn't seem that exciting regarding weapons. But it doesn't matter how many amazing weapons you have if your footing isn't sure and secure and you're slipping. So the soldiers, the Roman soldiers understood the importance of it. They would take little bits of nails and stuff and stick it on the bottom of their sandals to get a good grip on the ground. It's the same thing that Paul was talking about in Romans 5, 1 and 2. You think about it in Romans chapter 5, where he says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace. This grace doesn't just save us. This grace in which we now say it. Say it louder. Stand. You've got counselees that aren't secure in standing and understanding who they are now before God. And it affects everything else. And this is one of them. They're more prone to be drugged from conviction towards condemnation. They're more prone to be drugged back into shame if they're not convinced and understand the glorious truths of what God has done for us in salvation. I hope you take time to do this and you don't think, well, that's not counseling. I am often teaching doctrinal truth as I lead someone through counseling. I hope you are too. I mean, now don't hear me saying a whole hour where I'm just waxing eloquent. No. But all along the way, people who struggle in life, do they often have poor doctrine in some area? And does doctrine matter? I just hardly can stay in my seat when someone, sometimes in a testimony service, someone will go to the microphone. No, just give me Jesus. Don't give me doctrine. Oh, please sit down and stop talking. That's nonsensical. Doctrine is good. Doctrine is what grounds us and keeps us. And here's what I believe. Salvation is an amazing, amazing gift that when you first experience, you don't understand half of what you actually have. I see nods. Good. It's almost like you've been plopped down in an F-14 jet fighter. You're in the cockpit. Do you know everything that's going on here and what you could possibly do? That's the Christian life. And so I find often in counseling, I have an opportunity, it happens all the time,